All right. I hope you have your Bible ready tonight, the old King James Bible, Isaiah 37. If you have your Bible, Isaiah 37. And I don't know about you, but I really love my Bible. I probably got 8. People give me Bibles. You know, everybody thinks the preacher needs a Bible for his birthday, for Christmas, for his anniversary. But at least they all know what kind of Bible to get me. Amen. 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 Don't come in here with that bad news for modern man. I'll throw that thing away. Amen. Amen. All right. If you got your Bible, turn to Isaiah 37. Isaiah 37. And then look at verse 31 and put your finger right there and hold it and turn to Isaiah 40, verse 31, I think it is. Isaiah 40 also, verse 31. Let me make sure of that. I want to talk to you tonight for just a few minutes about, I don't know if anybody will agree with me or not. I really never even think about that, to be honest with you, when it comes out of the Bible. But I think the church needs a revival.
Amen.
And I think we need an upward revival. I don't think we need an outward revival. You know, I don't think we need the kind of revival where it's all about evangelism. I believe when you have an upward revival, evangelism will follow. But I'm afraid most people, what they call now revival, is an evangelistic service. It's a Billy Graham type service. Billy Graham was not a revivalist. He was a evangelist. He preached the gospel. But an upward revival is when you head toward God, not toward other men, okay, to keep them out of hell. So tonight I want to talk to you for just a minute about that. Amen. Isaiah 37 verse 1 says, "And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward." And in other words, he's saying those that escape captivity, God's going to plant them. And when he plants them, then they'll begin to grow upward again. Now, I've got right foundation. I'm founded on Jesus Christ. So I'm planted in the right soil. Now I need to go upward. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So turn to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, just a couple pages over. And look at verse 31 in Isaiah 40, verse 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount," what?
Up
"with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's revival. "And they shall mount up with the wings of eagles." Amen? Amen. So I want to talk to you because of what the church as a whole, those that claim to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to talk to you a little bit about tonight, about what I believe the COVID-19 has done to the church. Can I do that? Can I do that? Just for a few minutes, because we need revival. We need an upward revival. Now, I understand, I've been using this machine here to preach on. I preach more since this church closed than I did when it was open, because I'm preaching every day, 5 days a week, and then I preach on Sunday. I was preaching 6 days a week, and my wife said I was preaching too much. I need to take a day off. And so I took a day off. And I've got more people following me than that. People coming. I got so many people wanting to be my friend on Facebook because you shared it, and somebody else shared it, and somebody else shared it. And some of them's it's not going to do church attendance real good. Some of them's in Dakota, and some of them's in Wyoming, and a bunch of them's in Iowa, and all over the place. But people are listening. And that's good. That's good. This can be used for that. Of course, we were already using this. If it just been shared more, that would have happened anyway. But I'm not against technology. I'm not against the computer. I remember when we first tried to get a website, Brother Stephen Moore and I. Brother Stephen Moore, we were members of the Independent Bible Baptist Church there in Charlotte. And Brother Stephen is a IT specialist, information technology. He works for a big company, and he's got all these people. He's super, super nice guy from West Virginia, real, real meek and real intelligent. And he said, Brother Ron, what would you think about, because the pastor was, I was his associate pastor, and he was letting me do a lot of things that hadn't been done before to get the church full and get it going. And, Brother Steve said, what would you think about a website for the church? I said, I think it'd be a wonderful thing. I said, but talking to Jason Coley about a website for the church, that'd be like, you know, talking to the devil about some ice water. I mean, he just thinks everything on the internet is wicked. And I said, but I tell you what, you make a nice website, put it on your laptop, download it on your laptop, design it, and that's what he does for a living, design it, and you bring that laptop in here, and we have a fellowship in a few nights. After the fellowship, I'll corner him, and I'll say, I want to show you something. We'll show it to him, and we'll sell it to him. And sure enough, we did it, you know, and I went to Brother Jason, and we opened it up, and we turned it on, and there was a beautiful picture of our church and all kind of stuff about the church on that front page, you know. And I said, Brother Jason, do you know what that is? He said, that's our church. And he smiled. I said, yeah. You know what we want to do with that? He said, what? I said, we want to put that on the internet. He said, oh, the internet? He said, that's some wicked stuff on that internet. Oh, man, there's all kind of nasty things on there. I said, look, let me change your thinking. It's like the public library. You'll find what you're looking for. If you go to a public library, there's some nasty stuff in there. I'd consider it nasty. But if you're not looking for that, you're not going to find it. And so I said, we're going to list this with churches and put it in all these different sections, you know, where people, all these people from moving from up north, they're looking for a church, and they're going to go on there and they're going to say Baptist Church or Independent Baptist Church or Fundamental Baptist Church or King James Preaching Baptist Church or things like that. And that this page is going to come up. He said, it will. I said, yeah. So I'm not against that. I'm all for that. But I do want to say this. With this virus supposedly that's done so much, the church appears to me, I'm talking about the living church, not the internet church, not the radio church, not the TV church, because they don't do anything anyway. But the local church appears to me has sat down. They've sat down. We're doing nothing. We're doing nothing at all. I know we're preaching. I know when you go places, you're leaving gospel tracts. At least I hope you are, but ain't nobody going to pick them up because some politicians, scientists got them convinced that it's covered with the end of the world virus. And by the way, I looked up on Netflix and Hulu and all that. Did you know there's over 20 movies that's been made since 1980 about viruses that wipe out the world. And this thing that's going on right now, it looks like just like one of those movies that was made in 2010. Exactly like. I'm not saying people's not getting sick. They are. I'm not saying people's not dying. People are dying, mostly older people, pre-existing condition. I'm not saying you won't get it. I'm not saying I won't get it. But I'm saying this. It has caused the church to sit down on the couch or go to the easy chair. Because we go, well, what can we do? What can we do? Well, we can't have church. We can't have revival. We can't have evangelism. But if we're going to accomplish anything for God and for others, we need an upward-looking revival. Amen. That's not by strength nor by power. I know it's by His Spirit, saith Lord. I know that. But I really believe the old devil throws curves.
Yes.
I'm not saying people's not getting sick. I'm not saying people's not dying. They are. But I'm telling you this. I don't know if we should keep the church closed. That's why I opened it. We need a revival that'll cause us to look upward instead of outward with remote control.
Amen.
Now these people make a lot of money keeping us scared.
Yes, they do.
They make a lot of money. Now I'm not scared for myself. I've never thought I would get in the first place. I practice good hygiene. I wash my hands. You can ask my wife. I don't drink after nobody. I didn't do that when I was a drunk. I don't drink after nobody. One time her and the kids played a trick on me. I got out of the car and come back in and was going down the road and they started laughing. I said, what are y'all laughing about? They said, we all drink out of your drink. I don't drink out of my own wife. Amen. Now you listen to me. I understand sickness, but I also understand God-given common sense. Now listen, I'm not hugging you right now. I'm not shaking your hand right now. I ain't letting you breathe on me right now. There's something going around. We've always said that. There's something going around. The flu's going around. Bad cold, sinus infection going around. And I didn't want you breathing on me then. I don't want you breathing on me now. If you want to wear a mask, that'd be a blessing to me and you both. But I ain't wearing one. I don't look good in a mask. I went to the store the other day and one of them little old girls checked me out. I said, if I was you, I'd take that mask and I'd draw a frown with my tongue sticking out on that thing. I said, we don't know if you're smiling or sneering at us behind that thing. But let me tell you something. Our church, if we don't watch out, not just our church, but the church as a whole, those that claim to believe the Bible, those that claim to want God's presence, if we don't watch out, they're going to sit down in the easy chair or on the couch. You know what I say about them lazy boys? That lazy boy will make a boy lazy. Amen. Amen. Now, not my house. My wife will work him. But she works me. But let me tell you something. I'm concerned about churches. I'm concerned about my church. Here's what I thought. And I'm not mad at anybody. And I'm going to get some more scriptures in a minute. Be patient, all Lord. Now, I'm not mad at anybody. But here's what I thought. I thought we're going to... I worked all last week I worked 10 hours Friday and me and my wife worked hours yesterday trying to set up that room because I was so convinced that when we opened these doors, we was going to have to fight them off out there on the sidewalk. That's why I set up those chairs and stuff out there and said, don't come in without an escort. And certain ones sit on this side and certain ones sit on that side. And if we got too many, we had that room set up back there with the live feed where you could sit back there and hear it and watch it just like you was in here. And a man in the church suggested that and then he didn't even show up. And I was disappointed. I mean, I woke up 4 o'clock this morning, couldn't sleep, thinking about how the crowd was going to be here, and we was going to have to keep them off with the pitchforks, you know, to keep them, that they were going to come to church! Amen. And I understand people are afraid, and I understand older people that have immune problems, and I understand that people over a certain age that's got lung problems and breathing problems and all this, how they would be fearful. I understand, but let me tell you something. If you're sitting in front of that TV all day long and watch this stuff, you're going to go start raving mad and you'll never go back to work and you'll never go back to church and you'll never go back to see your grand youngins and your great grand youngins. You'll never go see your neighbor again. Listen, there's got to be a time where we start looking upward. Amen. We need an upward revival. Turn to Romans 13. Romans 13. I want to show you what I'm talking about. Romans chapter 13. Look at verse 11 in Romans chapter 13. Now this ain't the message I had planned. This is one I scribbled down not many minutes before we got here Now I'm not disappointing people. Don't get me wrong. I'm not mad at anybody. I feel sorry for people who feel like they're on lockdown. In jail. I feel sorry for them. Look. We have 100,000 people, 50 to 100,000 people a year die with the flu and nobody's locking anybody down. And I don't belittle not one of those people dying, not one. It could be me or you next year.
Right.
But I'm saying if we as a church, we're going to have to stop listening to scientists and politicians and doctors. I have a doctor, I love him to death. He'll put his hands on me and pray for me. He'll sit there and talk to me for 20 minutes. Just talk to me. Ask about my wife. Knows her name. Ask about my children. Know their name. Old-fashioned doctor. And I love that man, but I don't always do what that man tells me. I went and got his prescriptions filled before and went home and took them 2 or 3 days and threw them in the trash. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I know this. If I look upward, he's promised to hear me.
Amen.
And he's promised to establish my going forward.
That's right.
And he's a promise, look, to take me upward if I look upward.
Yes.
So we need a revival in Romans chapter 13, verse 11. I've talked long enough, you can get there. And that knowing the time that is now, that is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Now, I got saved in 1978. Think how closer I am to heaven now.
Right.
The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Armor is something you wear when you go into battle.
That's right.
Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering, that's going from everybody's house and partying and, you know, all those illicit things. And wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and not make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We need an upward revival that will wake us up. It shocks you how many people know a lot about the Bible and they do nothing about it. It's like they're asleep. I'll say, did you know the Bible says? And they'll say, yeah, I know that. I'll say, well, did you know that John says? And they'll finish the verse for me before I finish it. But they're doing nothing with what they know. They have put themselves in a state of slumber. They know they're going to heaven. They believe the Bible is the inerrant, inspired word of God. They love other people. They want their family to be saved. They want others to be saved. But they act like they're in a stupor and they can't wake up. I used to have a friend, Dale Bradley. Dale Bradley's gone now, but God bless him. We was teenagers. He lived up the street from me. Dale Bradley could sleep on a barbed wire fence. I'm telling you the truth. I am not exaggerating. I'd go up to his house, and I'd go up to his door, and his mama's name was Minnie. Minnie, wasn't it? Minnie. And everybody called her Minnie. Didn't call her mama. Her own kids called her Minnie. And she wasn't real Minnie either. And I'd say, hey, Minnie, where's Dale? She said, you know where he's at. It ain't 1 o'clock yet. I said, where? In the bed. I said, all right. She said, go get him up. So I'd go in there, and he'd be laid up in that bed, you know, and I'd walk over there, and I'd shake him, and he'd shake him. So finally, I'd just walk that foot of bed. I'd grab him by his feet, and I'd back up and pull him out and drop him on the floor. He'd wake up. Now, that's a sad state. He has sleep apnea or something. There's something wrong with that boy. And it didn't hurt him because he was asleep when he hit the floor. But I'll tell you this, there's a lot of Baptists the same way. To get them awake for God, it seems like you have to go over to their house, grab them by their feet, and pull them off the couch. And wake them up! Wake up! Wake up! It's time to look up! Quit looking at that stupid boob tube and start watching television and all that junk. Stop that and get back down to the house of God where you know you ought to be. We need a revival that'll wake us up. Did you know there's people that come to this church every Sunday? Well, they used to, till this hit. And they'd sit there and look at me and never move. And never move. Now, you and I, we'll sing because we won't be right with God. We'll sing, I shall not be moved. But these people's asleep and they're sitting there singing, I shall not be. You can tell them a sad story. You can read them scripture. You can scream. You can holler. You can jump a pew. You can set something on fire and they will not move. They are in asleep and it's time to wake up.
Amen.
Now, we're living in the last days. Matter of fact, we're living in the last of the last days. Just watching that peeled face Pelosi on television would show you that you're in the last days. Yeah, I said that because there ain't enough men in Washington to say it. They won't stand up to it. I just wonder, are there no men left in Washington, D.C.? Amen. Boy, that's another sermon. I better go on. But look, we're living in the last of last days, and we better wake up. Look, this is too important. We got children that's not saved. We've got grandchildren that's not saved. We've got brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and husbands and wives and neighbors and friends that need to be saved by the grace of God. And if they don't see the power and the presence of a holy God on us, why do they want what they already have? Nothing. And I think the COVID-19 has reinforced this. Hosea, if you got your Bible, Hosea 10. Or if you're Mexican, Joseph, or something. I don't know how they say it. Hosea, there used to be a little boy lived down the street from us, and I think one of his name was Hosea, wasn't it? And they called him Hosey. It was just Hosey. His mama would come out on the porch when it was supper time and say, Hosey! All right, let's call Hosea Hosey. I think that's where that name comes from. Hosea chapter 10, if you will. Now, I'm sorry. Yeah, I am sorry. Hosea, I'm in the wrong book. Amen. All right, chapter 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord. Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Now, did you know we need an upward revival that will break us up? You know, a lot of people never get saved till they get broken.
Right.
And a lot of Christians will never get right with God once they get backslid until God breaks them.
Amen.
And he talks about that potter making that pottery out of that clay. And he said he made that pot, but he looked at it and it was marred. In other words, it wasn't like exactly the way it ought to be. So you know what he did? He broke it and started all over. And I've known some Christians that God has had to break them and start all over. When if they just would have received a revival that he tried to send them. We need to be broke up. See, being broken up gives the potter the opportunity to make something better.
Amen.
And we are so comfortable in ourselves and in our surroundings and in our sustenance that we are not going to move until he breaks something. I really believe that. He's broken me before. He's took me out to the woodshed and just beat the devil out of me before. And it made me better. I didn't get bitter. I got better.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And our churches need that. And I'm afraid this COVID-19 invasion or whatever you want to call it, I'm afraid that Christians have gotten comfortable, they've gone to sleep, and they need to be broken up so they'll wake up. I used to work third shift for many, many, many years. I worked third shift. And I lived in Lancaster before I married my wife. I lived in Lancaster and I worked at the Rock Hill Printing and Finishing Company. Third shift. 11 to 7. And I was a young man. I went to work there when I was 18. I worked there for years, you know, several years, probably 6 all put together. 11 came back. But I like working third shift because you had to be a 99.99 years old to get the first shift. Nobody quit at Rock Hill Print and Finishing. They had to die on the job. And then they'd call somebody that was 89 to take their place. You know, they'd been waiting for 70 years to get a first shift job. So I'd take third shift, work all night. And then I was a young man. I didn't like to sleep. I thought if young people slept, they missed something. And I want to be on the road, man. There's things going on out there, you know. That old song, move on down the road. And I was moving on down the road all the time. And then when I found my wife, I was in Rock Hill every day just about. My boss man told somebody at work, said, since I started dating her, said her mama couldn't throw the dishwater out without hitting me in the face. I'd be standing there on the porch. But I wouldn't sleep. Especially on the weekends, I'd get off. Now, there we went to work on Monday night instead of Sunday night. And I'd get off on Saturday morning, and I thought, well, I can't sleep now. It's the weekend. And I wouldn't sleep. You can ask my wife. She'd wake me up sometimes. Even after we got married, she'd have to wake me up going down the road. Sometimes she'd keep her hand right there on my elbow because I'd go to sleep and about run over people. And I'll never forget, one night I was going home from the bleachery, and I was going down old country road, and it was coming over a bypass, and there was turning this way, turning that way, and there was cement median in the middle of it with a sign on the end of it. And I'm going down through there. And it's about midnight, you know. I got off work at 11. I hadn't slept in a couple of days, really. And I'm dreaming that I'm driving. You ever done that?
Yeah.
I would dream I was driving. It felt so good. And so I woke up because I felt my car go like that. And I realized my left wheels were on that median. And then I looked up. And I thought I was running head on with a car, so I slammed on brakes, and the car behind me turned right. He was in my mirror. That's dangerous. I about got broke up. And I'm afraid a lot of Christians are doing the same thing. They've gone to sleep, and they're fixing to get in a mess. They just don't know it because they're asleep. Amen. I gotta go on, y'all. I don't think y'all getting this. Listen, we need a revival. Peter said that he wanted to stir up your pure minds to remembrance. Now, I think we need a revival that will stir us up. Boy, I feel sorry for these young Christians nowadays. Or some of y'all that's never been in the fanatical, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, fire-breathing Baptist preaching. Well, I've seen, Tracy, you remember those youth rallies?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know if you was there that night, but we used to take all the teenagers up to New Manna in Marion, North Carolina to a big youth rally. First time we went, it was like 800. Last time we went, it was 4,000. And no rock music, just good old-fashioned singing, you know, young people. And I'll never forget, we were sitting in there, and the preaching got good, man. I mean, it got good. And the people got to shouting and running. And this one old boy, the preacher done said something about him earlier. He was 18. He lived back up in the woods, in the mountains. He'd come down there, come to church barefooted and got saved. And said he was on fire for God. You could hear him shouting about everything. You know, if you'd have told him he was backslidden going to hell, he'd have said amen. But he got excited. He run up and down in front of that platform. The preacher was up about this high off the floor. And he ran up and through there. And then he ran up and got on the platform with the preacher. And started hollering and shouting. And the preacher just quit preaching. Started laughing, looked at him, you know. And the old boy said, amen! Amen! He had that big old Bible, you know. Somebody would give him one of them big old Bibles, you know, probably large print. And he's shouting and sweating and glory to God. Amen! And that Bible came out of his hand. And it was like the whole place was in slow motion. And everybody stopped shouting and hollering and everything. And everybody's watching that Bible. And it goes about halfway back in the church. And some guy with long arm, big hand goes, clip, and pulls it back down, and everybody starts shouting all over again. Listen, there ain't nothing wrong with that. Christians ought to get stirred up every once in a while. I didn't stir much up, did it? Amen. Y'all just ain't never been there. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've seen them do all. Hey, I've seen them cut cartwheels up there, Tracy. I mean, I actually cut cartwheels. Young people getting excited, getting stirred up. Amen. All right, I'll go on. All you old people, you ain't never seen nothing like that. Amen. Listen, Elijah said, let the real God answer with fire. You remember the story? They're on the mount, and he's competing with those false prophets, and they're going to offer up an offering. He done dared them. He said, you offer one, and I'll offer one, and whichever one's God comes down and consumes it with fire, we'll know he's the real God. And they got up there, and, you know, they did the modern church service, you know. They run around and around that fire, chanting, you know, singing that chorus over and over and over, whatever it was, 7-11 songs. 7 words, 11 times, and the fire didn't come down, and then they got out their tattoo devices and started, they cut themselves, same thing to me, you just put ink in it, but they start cutting themselves, you know, and the fire don't come, and then Elijah start making fun of them, said, why don't you call him a little bit louder, maybe he's hard of hearing, why don't you call him a little bit louder, maybe he's gone to the bathroom. Amen. And made fun of him. And the fire never failed. He said, okay, now, I'm going to double dog dare you now. I'm going to show you how it really works. Put my offering over there, cut it up like this, stack it up like this. Now, pour a bunch of water on it. Can you imagine what those heathens thought when he said that? And then he said, okay, dig a ditch around it. Now pour some more water. Fill that ditch up with water. Now this is going on. I mean, think how long this took. And then he starts praying, and he said, God, show them who the real God is. Amen. And the fire falls, and it consumes the offering, and the rocks, and the water, and it licks up the dust around it. Amen? The fire fell. Listen, we need the fire of God on us. We need to throw off this sick. By the way, fire purifies. We need to throw off this sickness stuff and get the fire of God back. Say, if I die, I'm going to die serving God. I'm not sitting here on the easy chair. I'm not sitting here on the couch getting fat. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to go do whatever God let me do. The church is open. I'm going to church. I wear me a face mask. I start to say something about masks right there. I better not go no farther than that. No, it's a lot more mask than that. I wear a face mask. All right, we got you hand sanitizer. We got you Lysol. We got you Clorox. Come on. Come on. Amen. And then let's get back to trying to keep your youngins out of hell. Let's get back to trying to keep your grandchildren out of hell. Let's get back to trying to keep our loved ones out of hell. Let's get back to getting those backsliders out of their chastisement and back where they ought to be. Amen. Let the fire fall. Fire will purify you. At first I wondered why people would eat takeout food with COVID-19. The Chinese virus. Yeah, I said that. Chinese virus. Amen. Chinese virus. Amen. Chinese virus. Amen. Listen, at first I wondered why people would go ahead and buy something to eat. And then I thought, well, it went through the fire. Amen. It went through the fire. Now, you're hoping these people are sanitary, but I don't know if you've ever seen the background. That's that fellow right there in a restaurant. A lot of them, they're not very sanitary. I mean, he might pick the booger right before he did your salad. You never know. That's the truth. You don't know if they're washing their hands or not. So then I thought, well, if I get something, I'm going to make sure it's been through the fire. Because the fire will purify it. Amen?
Yes, sir.
And that's what the church needs to do. It needs to get back to the fire of God and let the fire fall.
Amen.
Now, listen, that kind of revival will get us back up. It'll get you out of the living room back to Sunday school. It'll get you out of the living room back to preaching on Sunday morning. It'll get you out of the bedroom and back to choir practice on Sunday night. Now y'all supposed to be the crowd that agrees with me. It's awful quiet in here. I hate to think what they're saying out there. They're probably throwing spitballs at me or something. I don't know what's going on. At least y'all could fake amen every once in a while. Amen. What am I going to have to do? Set the pulpit on fire? Listen, we need to get back to that kind of revival so it'll put us back into the highways and hedges and compelling them to come in. that my house may be full. Now, God doesn't like an empty house. Now, I understand sickness and contamination, all these things, but God doesn't like an empty house. And God doesn't like you to sit at home and not share what He's given you. And I'm not talking about your bottled water and a loaf of bread. I'm talking about the good news that Jesus saves. And I'm afraid all of this TV professors and TV scientists and TV doctors and TV politicians, all this stuff is killing the church.
Yes.
I'm talking about as a whole. And even this morning when I come in here, and me and my wife worked so hard, and I worried so much for nothing, it's kind of heartbreaking. Now, I know they'll be back. I do. I know all these people are going to be back. And I'm not fussing at them if they're afraid, but I'm saying this. This virus has done more to hurt the church than every liquor store in town. This virus has hurt the church more than every drug dealer in this town. This virus has hurt the church more than every hypocrite who's ever sat in a church pew. This virus has done something that the devil has tried now for 2,000 years to destroy, and this virus has hurt it more than all those other things he's thrown at it. But it ain't the virus that did it. It's the people that propagate it.
Yes.
They are evangelists. They're preachers. You see, what you forgot was the love of money is the root of all evil. And these men and women are selling their soul. They're selling their soul for money. I'm talking about the ones that propagate this stuff. I'm not saying people don't get sick. I'm not saying people don't die. I'm not saying that it's not dangerous. I'm not saying don't keep your distance. I'm not saying don't wash your hands. I'm not saying stay at home as much as you can. Stay away from sick people. Certainly stay away from nursing homes. Did you know in New York, almost exactly half of all the people that died in New York City were in nursing homes? That's the truth. Go look it up. But I am saying this. Now that we're getting back to business, let's get back to business. And let's look up. For our redemption draweth nigh. It feels to me like we're not going to be, but we are in the Laodicean church of the book of Revelation. Now, I don't mean particularly this church, but I mean the church people, all those that profess Christ, the age that we're living. The Laodicean church is neither hot nor cold. And now I'm afraid they found another way to be a little bit cold by sitting at home watching it on television. Now, I'm not asking you don't watch. I want you to watch. But I'm telling you, it's a whole lot warmer down there than it is over there. But I'm afraid that the Laodicean church, which is neither hot nor cold, and Jesus said, I wish you were hot or cold, you make me sick. See, they knew the truth. They owned it. They had the truth. But they didn't do anything with it. At least if you were backslidden like David, you could get right with God.
Right.
And I'd rather be a fanatic for Jesus than a compromiser and a Laodicean church member. I've been called fanatic. I've been called nut. I've been called crazy. There's not many names have not been attached to me. And that's fine because, see, I don't want to be a part of that crowd that has to look at everybody else and find something wrong with them in order to make themselves feel better because they're not doing anything for God. But we, as individuals, we can be revived. You can get revived tonight. You can get revived at home. You can get revived out there cutting your grass. I've been painting a house before, painting a room. God come down in that room to had a sermon playing on a CD while I was up there, a tape while I was up there. And boy, I'm talking about God showed up in that room. I had to lay that brush down and just lay on the floor and lay there and cry like a little old baby and weep and mourn, and the power of God come in that little old bedroom, and I had a revival there all by myself. You can do that. Listen. You can have revival as a local New Testament church. It can be. I'm not one of these Baptist preachers say it ain't going to happen no more. It can't happen. I don't think there's going to be a worldwide revival, but I believe you can have revival in your neighborhood, in your church, in a few local churches. I believe it can happen, but it's not going to happen if you keep looking outward and don't start looking upward. Our nation needs us. There's never been a time like this before in America. At least when the Spanish flu came through and killed all those millions of people, the people flocked to the churches.
Right.
Our state needs us. Our county needs us. Your community needs you. Your neighborhood. Your neighbors need you. Your church needs you. Now, I've been doing it for weeks. I can stand up here and preach to a television camera or whatever you want to call it till the day I go to glory. I can do that. But it won't help the church. The church needs to want to do something for God. Our church families need it. I don't know about your family, but everybody I know ain't going to heaven. And the only way they're going to see Christ is see Him in me. And I'm going to have to stay revived for that to happen. To have an upward revival, what we've got to do, we've got to quit looking at the world leaders, the scientists, the crooks, the perverts, the politicians. And they found a way to set us down. They found a way to set the church down. And we need to start, just this little group right here, if we'd start looking up and praying for God's same revival. It might start at your house, might start at my house or some other member's house, but revival could fall, and revival's like a fire.
Yes.
This little church, somebody will come visit from another church, it's like a virus, they'll take it back with them, and they'll take it back with them, and they'll take it back with them. But like the old saying goes, if a revival is to be, it is to begin with me. That's what you're supposed to say. Don't look to me to revive you. I can't do it. Don't look to nobody else. You look to God.
Yes.
And do like Elijah. Say, devil, you're going to throw whatever you got at me. But in a minute, the real God's going to talk.
Amen.
And the fire will fall. I really believe that before this started, man, our church was full. People criticized me for closing the church, and preachers did. And I said, but wait a minute, our church was full. There was no way to space people out. We couldn't. People hug and they shake and they're very affectionate. And I can't stop that. We got to stop it. And they had six in a church that sit 200. Now, I don't know if they still have six or not. They didn't close theirs, though. But I think this little church right here could do as much for God in this town as any church in this community or this state. But here's the only way to do it.
Yes.
Lord, if there's revival, it's going to have to begin with me. Make it real personal. Elijah did. He risked his life for the fire to fall. Now, I'm not saying people don't come because they're scared. I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm not saying they're backslid. But I'm saying sooner or later, all of us are going to have to start looking up again. And turn that television off or the computer, throw the newspaper out, whatever it takes. Now, I have to listen to it, and I listen to it, and I have to in order to keep abreast of what's going on. But I'm telling you, we've got to start looking up.
Yes.
It's too important not to. Let's come on, let's sing. Father, add the blessing to the reading of your word. Heavy message tonight. Heavy, heavy, Lord. Heavy on me. Lord, revive me. Send the fire on me, God. Fill me with your Holy Ghost and power. Lord, help us to ignore the naysayers. Like when they tried to get Nehemiah to stop rebuilding the walls, God. That's all this is. They're trying to get us to stop, Lord. Let us ignore them and go back to building and battling again. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Come on, Hallwood, sing us a song.